You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio in sunny, coolish downtown Waukesha, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It is the same number at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a very, very busy show coming up for you today, as most days. Joe Walsh is a former Republican congressman from Illinois who got gained quite a reputation as a verbal bomb thrower, if you will.
Yes.
And now he started out in the Tea Party and he became a never Trumper and now is traveling across the country talking to voters about why he does not think they should support Donald Trump and they should back Kamala Harris instead. We had an opportunity to talk to him last week, so we will have a pre-recorded interview with Joe Walsh coming up after the 10:33 news. I encourage you to stick around for that. Brittany Merlot will be here at 11:20 for Weather and Wine. Give us a little update on the forecast. See how long this beautiful, dry weather is going to last. Hawes, very excited about this.
Yes.
Jennifer Smia is going to be joining us. They have a plane load of 100 pets that are coming from shelters in areas that have been affected by Hurricane Helene. And these animals are going to be distributed to various humane societies across southeastern Wisconsin. They are doing this to clear out the shelters in those affected areas so that other pets, because they're going to be finding more pets and displaced pets as the waters recede and they get into some of the more cut off areas. So that's the whole goal behind that. So if you're looking to increase your household.
It was a long drive to, hey, do you want to get a dog?
Hey, feeling like getting a dog? This might be a good opportunity for you. Jennifer will be joining us with From Hawes coming up at 11:33. And then this shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah.
At 11:51, Calvin found a good one. Gosh, you leave a nice birthday message for someone and all of a sudden the whole MAGA sphere melts down.
Just got to poop all over
it. Yeah, apparently so. So that's how we will wrap up the show. Wanted to start off, though, just to remind you, Dan Schaefer is now our political editor.
Mm-hmm.
He has put together a very comprehensive guide about every race in Wisconsin.
Yes.
I mean, very, very comprehensive.
Yeah.
So if you're curious to know what districts you are living in under the new maps, you want to go to civicmedia.us/voterguide.
Is it voter-guide?
Voter-guide.
Okay.
civicmedia.us/voter-guide. And that's going to take you really everything you need for races in your district, races all across the state. If you're not sure who's running, which is not unusual. People have lives.
There are dozens upon dozens upon dozens of races.
There's many, many, many races.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're all excited about the new maps, which is great. But if we would like to continue to see things get done in Wisconsin, that's where these assembly races are really important. Because if Democrats can even things out a little bit, instead of having such a dominated legislature by the Republicans who tend to, I don't know, not do much.
Yeah.
They like to vacation. They're very good.
They're even better at than the U.S. Congress.
Which is kind of, again,
Yep.
Credit where credit is due. You know,
it's that, like, you know, Congress in Washington would be like, all right, we're going to do like 6 weeks of work, then we're going to take 2 months off, then we'll come back and do a month. Wisconsin is a truly hold my beer moment. They're like, we're going to do everything in 8 weeks.
And then we're gone.
And we'll see you sometime in 2025.
Yeah, definitely. So I encourage you to check that out. Go to civicmedia.us/voter-guide and find out who's running in your area and please make a plan to vote. Be a voter, baby. It's cool.
It's awesome.
Everybody who's anybody is a voter.
How could they do that?
You just go to, you can go to myvote.wi.gov, Greg Bach.
It seems too simple, Jane.
And that's how simple it is. Myvote.wi.gov. Check it out. Make sure you're registered. I don't know that this is happening in Wisconsin quite like it is in some other states. Texas just purged 400,000 voters from their voter rolls.
North Carolina. 750,000.
Yeah. Lots of changes going on. Make sure you are registered.
Yes. You can. And
even if you just voted.
Exactly.
In August. Just go and check. It takes a minute.
Yeah.
Myvote.wy.gov. All right. We're going to start off, though, with last night's vice presidential debate.
A barn burner, baby.
Did you feel it was a barn burner?
Not one bit.
Calvin, did you watch the whole thing?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Well, that was an enthusiastic response from our resident young person.
We can call that sound was like listening to or watching paint dry.
It wasn't the most scintillating evening.
No.
And I did think that Tim Walz started off and he seemed nervous.
Yes.
Which is, I don't fault him for that.
Well, he's a human, unlike J.D. Vance, who just you program him for TV and he's like, whatever, please overlord now.
It's interesting seeing some of the responses, though, from folks. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel was taking comments from people after the debate on who won.
Yeah.
And it's very divided.
Of course.
But a lot of the Republicans who responded believe that J.D. Vance, yeah, he seemed like a normal human. He didn't seem nutso.
His approval went up? Because he was composed. He's always composed. He's never like losing his mind unless he's getting, not even fact checked. They're just clarifying. There's a difference, J.D. Vance. But yeah, I mean, my worry was with Tim Walz is that J.D. Vance was going to say something incendiary and wrong and stupid. And Tim Walz was going to go Midwestern dad and get huffy.
Which he didn't.
He didn't. But you could definitely, as you said, you could tell he said before, he's like, he's afraid of letting Kamala down. I get that too. So
I thought he got better as the evening wore on.
Yeah.
And we're going to play a few clips for you. We have so many clips and so little time.
We have the best clips.
Calvin, did you have any overall takeaways from the debate last night?
Yeah. I mean, I thought it clearly went well for J.D. Vance simply because he normally comes off so awkward and weird. And he came off as somewhat personable with how he was agreeing with Tim Walz, which I found a little annoying that they were both going back and forth saying they agreed with
each other. They were really nice to each other.
But then the other problem I had is the participants, I don't feel, articulated any policy. It was the moderators would articulate their platform's position for them, and then they'd be like, yeah, I agree. Here's where I don't like the other president. Like, they weren't even, I don't know. I was not pleased. I thought it was, one, boring, and two, extremely unproductive.
I mean, that's also kind of the way it's always been for a vice presidential debate. It's low stakes, low bar, Kamala Harris, like, if Kamala wins or loses, we're not going to look back on the VP debate as the catalyst for
factor.
Either.
Yeah. That I don't think it should be the deciding factor.
No, it's absolutely not.
Certainly a factor. Let's play the clip, Calvin. Clip number one. During last night's debate, J.D. Vance on healthcare, and he may have made a little slip there that you caught. Let's listen to that.
One of the top problems facing Americans is the high cost of healthcare. Senator Vance, at the last presidential debate, former President Trump was asked about replacing the Affordable Care Act. In response, he said, I have concepts of a plan. Mm. Since then, Senator, you've talked about changing how chronically ill Americans get health insurance. Can you explain how that would work? And can you guarantee that Americans with pre-existing conditions won't pay more? I'll give you 2 minutes.
Well, of course, we're going to cover Americans with pre-existing conditions. In fact, a lot of my family members have gotten health care. I believe, members of my family actually got private health insurance, at least for the first time.
How?
Switched off of Medicaid onto private insurance for the first time under Donald Trump's leadership. And I think that, lot of people have criticized this concepts of a plan remark. Look, it's very simple common sense. I think as Tim Walz knows from 12 years in Congress, you're not going to propose a 900-page bill standing on a debate stage. It would bore everybody to tears. And it wouldn't actually mean anything because part of this is the give and take of bipartisan negotiation.
Wee-oo, ding, 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 ding.
Is there a plan that's about 900 pages, Calvin?
Yeah, I mean,
it sounds like a project to me.
It probably is not what he had meant or even what he was thinking about, but it's just 900 is a very specific number that yeah. we on the Democratic side are constantly referring to as Project 2025. So I don't know. It seems suspicious. Maybe a Freudian slip.
Well, and the other thing too is it wasn't under Donald Trump's leadership. It was called the Affordable Care Act that they got on there. And that's through the Obama administration. Had nothing to do with Donald Trump. In fact, they wanted to get rid of it.
He campaigned on that. Yeah.
Still waiting for that great health care plan from Donald Trump. And by the way, you can go on a debate stage, you can go on a stump speech stage, you can go anywhere you want and give the outlines of your plan. Kamala Harris has been doing it for weeks now. I don't know anything about her plans. She's been talking about it for weeks now. It's on her website. You don't have to present 900 pages, Mr. Javance. It's not that difficult to say, here are the key points of the Donald Trump healthcare plan. Not, I have concepts and I'm not going to tell you because I'm not president.
Well, I just find it amazing that anyone can defend someone who says, I have concepts of a plan. Come on.
Well,
that is beyond absurd.
He's really good at this.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. But you know what? But it's also Kamala Harris's fault. What's her fault? I don't know. It just is her fault.
It just is in general. This is Tim Walz last night talking about the issue, very big issue, certainly for women in this country on abortion. Calvin, let's play that clip, please.
Former President Trump said in the last debate that you believe abortion, quote, in the ninth month is absolutely fine. Yes or no? Is that what you support? I'll give you 2 minutes.
That's not what the bill says. But look, this issue is what's on everyone's mind. Donald Trump put this all into motion. He brags about how great it was that he put the judges in and overturned Roe versus Wade.
Yes.
52 years of personal autonomy.
Yes.
And then he tells us, oh, we send it to the states. It's a beautiful thing. Amanda Zaworski would disagree with you on it's a beautiful thing. A young bride in Texas waiting for their child at 18 weeks. She has a complication, a tear in the membrane. She needs to go in. The medical care at that point needs to be decided by the doctor. And that would have been an abortion. But in Texas, that would have put them in legal jeopardy. She went home, got sepsis, nearly dies, and now she may have difficulty having children.
That's an actual case. There are a number of cases. We have talked about several of these. We are going to get J.D. Vance's response when we return. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just
good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and the Calvinator on the board coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us. Call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Former Republican Congressman from Illinois, Joe Walsh, in a pre-recorded interview will be joining us after the 10:33 news, if you can stick around for that. Doing a little recap last night of the vice presidential debate, and I do want to talk about Donald Trump's appearance in Milwaukee at Discovery World last night. We were right before the break. We heard from Senator Tim Walz about abortion in America and what would happen under a Trump administration, what is happening after what Donald Trump did during his 4 years in office. Now, here's J.D. Vance's response on abortion. Calvin, play that clip, please.
Now, of course, Donald Trump has been very clear that on the abortion policy specifically, that we have a big country and it's diverse. And California has a different viewpoint on this than Georgia. Georgia has a different viewpoint from Arizona. And the proper way to handle this, as messy as democracy sometimes is to let voters make these decisions, let the individual states make their abortion policy. And I think that's what makes the most sense in a very big, a very diverse, and let's be honest, sometimes a very, very messy and divided country.
No.
Governor, would you like to respond? And also,
women should be able to get health care.
Period.
Because that's what it is.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't have to travel four states away if they're having complications to get health care. They shouldn't be bleeding out in emergency room parking lots. They shouldn't be developing sepsis before they're able to get help. No.
And on the other side of that coin, doctors should be able to do their job and not have to worry about being arrested, thrown in jail, or worse. I mean, this is just, I know he's painting it as 10th Amendment, states' rights, the beauty of America. This is stupid and it's dangerous. Look at the numbers right now of how many women have died because of this.
Look at Project 2025 and what they plan to do under a next Republican administration. They're going to get rid of the Department of Human Services and call it the Department of Life. They are going to outlaw all abortion. There will be a national abortion ban. I don't care what J.D. Vance says. I don't care what they say. The three justices who made this possible lied during their confirmation hearings when they said that Roe was established law. And look what happened with that.
Yeah, go on. I'm just going to repeat what you're saying anyway. So I'm flustered.
And then I think what really, at least this struck me, Calvin, this is clip number five when J.D. Vance was asked about certifying the results of the election. Calvin, play clip number five, please.
Does have the floor for 1 minute to respond to you.
Yeah. Well, I don't run Facebook. What I do.
Calvin's looking for the right clip.
How are you guys doing?
He doesn't have it.
Okay.
J.D. Vance essentially said, I'm focused on the future. He would not answer if Donald Trump lost in 2020. He didn't answer on whether or not he would certify the results of the 2024 election. Tim Walz had to point out the reason that Mike Pence isn't on this stage is because he did the right thing in certifying the results.
Yes, because he didn't have the power to begin with
as vice president
to totally upend this democratic election process. I don't understand how anyone can trust them, but you know, it's Donald Trump. I won't ban abortions. I'm the guy who got Roe v. Wade done. I'm the ones who did the judges. J.D. Vance, I don't trust him as far as I can throw him. Like, this is absolute hokum.
In the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, they talked to voters after the debate to see who they feel won. Gene from Searing, Wisconsin says J.D. Vance had a problem when being fact-checked, lied about his position on abortion, and refused to answer if Trump had lost the election. Oh, and yes, he did whine when the moderators fact-checked him about Haitians eating pets and Haitians' legal right to be in Springfield, Ohio. And then he talked over them for a full minute before they finally cut his mic. I was screaming at this. Yeah. Shut his mic off.
Yeah.
If we move, I want my own cutoff mic. Even for media that I don't work for.
Yeah. It's, I mean, he is, oh God, seriously. The problem I have with the whole thing is first of all, this wasn't a fact check, in my opinion. It was merely a tiny clarification because that's all they were allowed to do, apparently.
Yeah.
But CBS was running real-time fact checking, so you could follow their website, which, by the way, if you want to see Megyn Kelly on Twitter lose her stuff, she got so mad about this. But that's what he got mad about. He got mad that he got called out for lying.
Yes.
That's what that man gets upset about. I said this thing that's incorrect, and this is the truth. Hey, you said you weren't going to fact check me.
You're being mean.
So you want me to let you lie with impunity? That's the man you want to be vice president?
Mike from Kenosha is on the line. We only got about a minute and a half left. Mike, thank you for joining us. What do you want to say?
Yeah, real quick. You know, until the public takes control of our debate, we're going to see this mamby-pamby, half-hearted effort of a debate where, you know, sometimes they fact-check, sometimes they don't. You know, whose debate is it? Isn't it we the people's? Isn't it the whole purpose of a debate be on television for the public benefit, but yet the narrative, the questions, the fact checking is so, I don't know, for lack of a better term, mamby-pamby. It's inconsistent at best. It's unfair for sure. It is it doing the work, a fiduciary work of the, I would say, no.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Mike. The mainstream media, and we've talked about this before, is failing massively by trying to both sides everything and sane wash everything. We do have these clips that I want to play from Donald Trump, who was in Milwaukee yesterday at Discovery World. We'll do that at 10:50. News is coming up next when we return. A little chat I had with former Republican Congressman from Illinois, Joe Walsh. That is all on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, and Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Brendan, I see you on the line. We have a pre-record that we're going to do right here. We're going to talk a little bit more about Donald Trump's appearance last night in Milwaukee at 10:50. If you want to call back, then that would be great. Right now, though, Joe Walsh was a one-term congressman from Illinois, a Republican. He was part of the Tea Party movement. He said he voted for Donald Trump in 2016. And then quickly changed his mind. He actually is making appearances across the country now with a group known Principles First. And he essentially says, you either believe in this moment that Trump is a threat to democracy or you don't. I had the chance to sit down and talk to him last week. Here is my recorded conversation with Joe Walsh. Very excited to have our next guest join Matt Nair on air. He's a former Republican congressman from Illinois, a former presidential contender, and I think it's fair to call you, Joe, at least a former verbal bomb thrower. Would that be accurate? Joe Walsh is here. Hi, Joe. How you doing?
You're being so darn diplomatic. I was worse than a bomb thrower.
Well, you have quite an interesting Wikipedia page, and I was checking some of the things that you have said in the past. You are now speaking openly against a second Trump administration. What was the turnaround point for you, Joe? Because you seemed pretty much in that vein up until when, 2019?
No. Yeah, 2018, I formally left him. I voted for him in 16. I come from the Tea Party. I still proudly call myself a Tea Partier. But Donald Trump, look, I voted for him in 16. I was on the radio like you every day around the country, and it became clear every day he was in the White House that he's a horrible person and he's an utter threat to this democracy. And so I came out against him in 18. And for 6 years, I've been doing everything I can to keep him out of the White House. And it was lonely in 2020 because there weren't a lot of us Republicans supporting Biden. There are many, many, many more now supporting Kamala Harris.
It really is interesting to see, Joe, the change, but there are still so many within the Republican Party who seem to be just fine with Donald Trump and his character and values and those things. And but we have Liz Cheney now, Dick Cheney, you, and Adam Kinzinger. Where are the rest of them?
Jane, you're right. It's Trump's party and it's become a cult. And if you are a me or an Adam Kinzinger and you stand up against him, then you're pretty much done as a Republican. So they're still at his feet because they want to keep their jobs. I was in right-wing talk radio. If you want to keep your right-wing talk radio show, you got to say Trump's the greatest. So they want to keep their shows. I get all of that. But this is one of those rare times in American history where, damn it, it's time to put our country first. And Jane, all we got to do is try to convince, you know, a certain number of Republicans in Wisconsin and each of the battleground states, and it can make a real difference to vote for Kamala Harris.
We talk about this all the time on the show, Joe, about how these people who want to keep their, you know, whether it's a right-wing radio talk job or they want to keep their, they want to keep their elected office. Why do they think that going forward, they will always be immune? Why do they think that, you know, they won't do something or be supportive enough, and that's going to come back on them?
That's such a great point. Here's what they always tell me privately. And Jane, it's always privately. For 6 years, ever since I came out against Trump, they've always contacted me privately, my former colleagues in both Congress and right-wing media, and said that they agreed with what I was saying about Trump, but they just couldn't say it publicly. Jane, they've told me, and they told me this in 16, 18, 20, and 22, that Trump's going to be gone one day. It's like a hurricane. It will come and go, and then the good old Republican Party will be back. Well, BS to that. That's not going to happen. Even if Trump loses this year, and let's hope he does, Trumpism and MAGA have taken over the party. So these guys, these knuckleheads, are going to have to keep bowing down to MAGA if they want to keep their jobs. They don't understand that. It is the party now.
If you're just joining us, former Republican Congressman Joe Walsh is our guest, and he is now speaking out adamantly against a second Trump administration, a second Trump term. I have to say, Joe, from my own experience here, we're in Waukesha County, which is a very red county in Wisconsin, and I have been at our farmer's market, in our booth at our farmer's market, and I have had women sidle up to me and whisper to me, I love your show, I love your station. It's almost like, but I can't tell my husband. I have to think that there are a lot of Republicans, both male and female, who are kind of the same, where it's like, I'm going to keep putting the face on. I'm going to agree with these people. And when I go in the voting booth, I'm going to do what I believe is right, which is vote for Kamala Harris.
I think you nailed it. So, like, you know, in 16 and 20, the pollsters always undercounted the Trump vote, because people were embarrassed and ashamed to say they're going to vote for Trump, and then they did at the polls, and that was never picked up. I think you nailed it. I think the opposite's going on now. I was in Pennsylvania yesterday. I've been in every battleground state, and I have so many Republicans come up to me and say the same thing. Joe, I'm going to vote for her. I can't say it publicly. So, I don't think that's being picked up by the polls. So I think you're going to have that come election day.
Are you concerned at all, Joe, about if the election is close? We're hoping that the voter turnout is just so massive that there's not going to be any way for them to claim that this was rigged and this was stolen, although he's laying that groundwork and he's been laying that groundwork for months. Do you think that we're going to be in the same place we were 4 years ago after January 6th?
This makes me so sad, Jane. Yeah, Trump could lose every single state, all 50 states, and he will say it was rigged and stolen, and a certain percentage of his voting base is going to believe him. No doubt about it. Donald Trump has already made clear he will not accept the result. And by the way, that alone right there, any guy, any candidate who doesn't accept the will of the people every 2 or 4 years doesn't deserve your vote. But yes, so I worry profoundly about not necessarily maybe a January 6th, but of unrest, chaos, and violence incited by him again, because he will never accept a loss.
What I have never understood, going back to, you know, it was rigged, it was stolen from me, I've never understood how other Republicans who were on that same ballot didn't invalidate their own election because they won, but on that same ballot, Donald Trump lost, but no, he won. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Jane, you've already entered, you've put reason into this conversation. Stop, stop, stop. And I say this, and it makes me sad to say this, because these used to be my supporters and my followers and my voters. My party has become a cult. And it doesn't matter what he says. He can do no wrong. And again, that's not going to change.
MAGA voters, I agree with you, are not reachable. They will love him no matter what he does. It really doesn't matter. And I think they love him for some of the terrible things that he does and says. But for those who are still on the fence, Joe, what can we do? What can Wisconsinites do?
And there are a lot of them, Jane. In Wisconsin, one of the states, there are a whole bunch of independents and what I'll call a Nikki Haley Republican, a bunch of them in that state who tell me every day, Joe, I know Trump is I got to watch my language, is a bad guy, but I really don't know where Kamala is. Those are the ones we've got to get in front of because they know Trump's bad. They know he's bad for the country. And we've got to encourage them to put their country first. Like, they can still be a Republican. I say that everywhere I go. You can still be a Republican. Just put that over here for a moment and step up for your country and support her and vote for her. If we can get enough of them in these battleground states, I think it will help her, and I think it will make a difference in Wisconsin. And Jane, often I tell Republicans it's not about policy. Kamala Harris and I don't agree on most policy. Big deal. She's gonna uphold our democracy, the rule of law, and the Constitution. It all starts there. That's the most important thing.
Well, and it's just like Liz Cheney has said, we can survive 4 years of bad policies or policies
Amen.
With which we disagree, but we cannot survive the torching of our Constitution by someone who says Amen. They want to be a dictator on day one.
By someone who wants to be a dictator on day one, by someone who said he wants to imprison his political enemies. And the other thing I say to Republicans and independents, if he wins, it's going to be 4 years of utter chaos every single day. Nothing will get done. Nothing. And then I tell Republicans, if you do want a sane Republican Party back, the only hope you've got is kicking him in the butt this year. He's got to lose, and he's got to lose big. Or you'll never get our party back.
And the other thing I think people need to keep in mind, J.D. Vance has to be the least popular vice presidential candidate in the history of this country. If not, it's got to be close. Donald Trump is 78 years old. If he's reelected, he will be the oldest. And there is a good chance, because Donald Trump does not exercise and he doesn't have the best diet. If he does not survive for 4 years, J.D. Vance will be the guy. And J.D. Vance has the big backing of all of the people behind Project 2025.
For those of us who do not want Donald Trump ever near the White House again, the best thing Trump did was to pick J.D. Vance. I remember I was depressed for the month before he picked Vance, because everything seemed to be going Trump's way. And then he made that pick, and that was an arrogant pick. He doubled down on MAGA. If he had picked Nikki Haley I think this would be a much different race. You make a great point. J.D. Vance, I know him. He's a fraud. And you're right. We haven't even talked about that. If Trump were to win, there's a decent chance J.D. Vance is president sometime in the next 4 years.
Absolutely. And I don't care what Donald Trump says about how he knows nothing about Project 2025. We know he hasn't read it because it doesn't have enough pictures. But he can't. Right. Don't believe him. You know, J.D. Vance wrote the foreword for one of the Project 2025's author's books, and he's right up with those guys. So, yeah, that's what we would get. We are out of time, Joe Walsh. Thank you so very, very much for what you're doing. I appreciate you going out there and speaking out. I'm sure you've gotten tons of heat for it. Over the years.
Tons of heat.
Tons of heat. Joe Walsh has been our guest. Thank you so much, Joe. Take care.
Thanks, Jane. Thanks.
Joe Walsh, former Republican from Illinois. He was in Milwaukee last night, actually appearing along with Principals First. And they are talking to undecided Republican voters and independents and trying to get their message across. I spoke to him last week, so that was a little pre-record. Obviously, the VP debate hadn't happened when we spoke last week. I would be interested to see what his reactions were. I do want to play, Calvin, you found that clip now, correct, about J.D. Vance? This is what J.D. Vance said when asked about whether or not the 2020 election was stolen.
He is still saying he didn't lose the election. I would just ask that. Did he lose the 2020 election?
Tim, I'm focused on the future. Did Kamala Harris censor Americans from speaking their mind in the wake of the 2020 COVID situation?
That is a damning non-answer.
It's a damning non-answer for you to not talk about censorship. Obviously, Donald Trump and I think that there were problems in 2020. What? We've talked about it. I'm happy to talk about it further.
What?
Censorship from what?
Apparently, Ron Johnson wasn't able to get enough horse dewormer out to folks or something. I'm not sure what that's about.
Well, I mean, to him, everything's an inside job anyway. So, of course, J.D. Vance can't answer the question. Because in the GOP, you can't simply say, of course, I'm going to certify the election. That's now a controversial statement.
Well, it's just the slip of, I'm looking towards the future. Well, unfortunately, your running mate can't stop talking about the past.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of his running mate, Donald Trump was in Milwaukee at Discovery World last night. We've got some interesting clips to share with you coming up next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just heard the saddest news, somebody's back in town.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call. You can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Donald Trump back in Milwaukee last night at Discovery World. He stopped earlier in the day in Waunakee, and then last night at Discovery World. WISN reporting this morning that a whole bunch of people had tickets in their hands for this event at Discovery World, and guess what happened? Nope, they changed it at the last minute to a private press event.
That's the one that's on top of the Discover World rooftop.
The big space up there.
Yeah. I mean, how many did he, is there 1,000, 5,000, tens of thousands?
What is the capacity? I think this, what's the seating capacity up there?
Standing room is 500.
Okay.
Seated 400.
One Trump supporter telling WISN, I talked to both law enforcement and Homeland Security. They both said the same thing. This was because of misinformation. They said it was always a private event, which I don't totally believe, but it is what it is. And they waited out there for hours. There were some people who were waiting in line yesterday at 5:30 in the morning, only to find out that the ticket that you have in your hand is worthless.
Is it worth bupkis?
Nope.
I imagine that Donald Trump was probably pretty upset, too, because that man can't operate in a non-audience setting. Like, even a private event's not good enough. He has to have
a crowd.
He has to have the love from a crowd.
Yes.
A private event is more about impress me because I know you want money. It's a fundraiser usually of some sort.
But this was just a lot of press.
Yeah.
There were just a lot of press there. And I've said this earlier this week. I do not think he's well.
Nope.
I physically.
Nope.
I don't. And, this is something he continues, one of many lies that Donald Trump continues to spew that has no basis in reality, and it's about sex change operations. Calvin, let's play that clip, please.
They fail to educate our youth. Our opponents are using government schools to indoctrinate children, pushing radical transgender ideology on children. And changing the child's gender without even parental consent. Can you imagine that your child leaves for school and comes home and their gender has been changed? I don't want to get into the details, but it's
the concepts.
Not even believable. Without parental consent, all of that's changing. It's changing immediately.
Of course, it's not even believable because it's not true.
No. First of all, they're pushing. See, they couldn't get away with the whole, you know, child mutilation thing because they found that most children, very, very, very small percentage of children, have any sort of surgery on their bodies before they turn 18. Very small. Very small amount. So now what they're doing is they're going whole hog.
It just happens in a day.
It happens. You go to school. Have a good day, Johnny. Come home at 3:30, 4 o'clock. Who's Susie? Is that my daughter? I mean, anyone listening right now who disagrees with us and likes Donald Trump, I want proof. Send me the proof of what he's talking about. Not the concept, not the notion, not the gut feeling, but I want proof of children going to school on Monday and coming back on Monday afternoon. A Monday afternoon. It's a half day for them.
There you go.
It's back.
It's not happening. Dr. Laura Hanks, who is on usually on Wednesdays with us, and she wasn't able to make it today. She works with trans people. There's years of counseling. There's years of puberty blockers and things before you ever get to a point of doing anything surgically.
Yes.
It just doesn't happen. Yep. Boom. I go in. My daughter's 9 years old and she goes into the doctor without my knowing and he signs a slip and sends her to the hospital and she comes back a boy. That doesn't happen.
The amount of paperwork you have to sign before getting any sort of like major surgery done as an adult, can you imagine?
It's just ludicrous and it's insulting.
And it's stupid.
Speaking of insulting, Calvin, let's play this clip about U.S. soldiers who were injured after an attack by Iran.
Attacks from Iran, but also, do you believe that you should have been tougher on Iran after they had launched ballistic missiles in 2020 on U.S. forces in Iraq, leaving more than 100 U.S. soldiers injured?
So, first of all, injured. What does injured mean? Injured means you mean because they had a headache, because the bombs never hit the fort. So just so you understand, there was nobody ever tougher in Iraq. They had no money with me. They would have made any deal with me. I would have had a deal made within 1 week after the election.
First of all, Iran was responsible for the missile attack that was targeting U.S. forces stationed in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
This was in response to a drone attack that killed one of their Iranian generals. The attack injured several dozen American service members, many of whom were diagnosed with traumatic brain injuries. Ultimately, they got Purple Hearts. 39 of them got Purple Hearts who were wounded in that attack. These weren't just headaches. And if you're a veteran or a family member of a veteran, I can't even imagine how that makes you feel.
I'm a family member of three veterans, four veterans off the top of my head. This makes me so angry because then on the other side of the argument, they will hold them up as heroes. This is disgusting. He isn't well. Let's talk about that more. He's not worthy.
News is coming up next, so stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network.
And nothing more, and you're just fool enough to fall again. Somebody's back in town, why can't he stay away? You should know he never loved.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.